You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, former International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders at the helm of some of today's most successful businesses. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of the creative services firm Sidley. Vito, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here, Carl.
Can you tell us about your early years? Where did you grow up? What was your family up to?
I'm from Montreal, East End Montreal. I would say I had a pretty happy childhood, you know, multi-ethnic, first-generation Canadian neighborhood, very family-oriented. We had a lot was around the family for us, you know, a decent-sized family. We're a group of brothers, we're four brothers, and a lot around the dinner table. And that's it. Yeah, it was a pretty good upbringing. Very, let's say, work ethic driven. You know, a lot was about, you did your job, and that consistent effort would move you forward and get you there.
Vito, just out of curiosity, are any of your three brothers still in Montreal?
Yeah, I have three brothers in Montreal, and I have a half brother in Italy. But we all stuck around Montreal. I moved for a while, but we're all still in Montreal. We're all very different, though.
What did you want to do growing up, back in high school or elementary? What did you want to be?
You know, when I was really young, I didn't have like a clear career objective, but I was surrounded by a lot of folks that had like their own business, you know, whether it was like retail or a small manufacturing thing. So I was always like impressed and inspired by entrepreneurship around me. And it wasn't so much the things they were doing, but the, you know, this concept of leading something that I found really, really interesting. And I projected myself into that, leading, you know, something in business at some point. I didn't know exactly where I would land, but I always found that something that was really inspiring to see around me.
What was your first leadership role where you thought not only maybe I can lead, but maybe I want to lead?
That's kind of funny because it's not really a work thing, though I was getting paid a little bit. Probably like the moment, the trial by fire for me was that at 16, I became a little league soccer coach, like all alone, like teaching these kids that were like 5, 6 years old. I wouldn't say that was my leadership moment. My leadership moment was definitely with the parents, where like I quickly understood the most important stakeholder were the parents, you know? And I remember I went once and I was like, okay, I gotta take a different approach. And I think the lesson I learned there is I better arrive prepared for these things, because I immediately felt like how everybody had their agenda. You know what I mean? The kids were just running around after chasing the ball. But I quickly realized that if you're gonna lead something and be in control, you better know what you want to do and be ready for all the questions you're gonna get.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. It's so nice as I teach sessions about managing upward. It sounds like as a kid you were managing your parents upward.
I don't know about my parents directly, but I could tell you I was managing other people's parents in many cases.
Vito, you're in a creative business. Did you have a creative side growing up in high school and as a young adult? What was your creative outlet back then?
I mean, growing up, I always had an artistic side. I mean, I grew up in an environment where there was music and also multilingual, you know, like everybody around me always would speak three or four languages, and I kind of picked up a few myself. I always was, you know, if I would, I guess, put a label on myself, I was probably like a hobby guy. I don't know if you remember this, Carl, but back in the day, the hobby stores were a lot more popular. I was the one, like the circuits, the electronics, I loved scale models. I loved, you know, building stuff. And I got into like personal computing and like some basic programming at the beginning. So I would say for me, it's always been like my creative, like there's different types of creativity. I mean, I wasn't like Van Gogh, but I was more like someone who would tinker. I love fixing stuff. I love when something's broken and people don't know what to do. I love that kind of stuff. I love that. That's been more my angle, you know, and I think I probably brought that through my career, to be honest, in different capacities.
What did you study at university?
Well, I did my undergraduate was a bachelor in management at McGill as well. I figured, you know, it's a great, McGill's an awesome school. So I actually ended up going there twice. I majored in marketing and entrepreneurship. Again, I was probably still searching for what I wanted to do at that moment. But again, I was still kind of carrying that image of the entrepreneur and you know, generating business or creating a business. So marketing and entrepreneurship felt like the right angle for me. So that's why I ended up. I mean, a lot of people from my neighborhood end up being accountants. So I figured if I ever needed an accountant, I can find one. So I decided to branch out a little bit.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. What advice do you have for my young students, the undergraduates? What are the one or two things you feel that they should absolutely know and do?
I mean, the one thing I quickly learned, and again, I think this applies in business across your life, is team composition. I mean, when you're in university, it's where you really get a sense, at least my generation. I look at my kids, it's probably changed, but my generation, it's really when you got into university that the concept of team became very prevalent and very central to the work you would do. And that is a dynamic in and of itself. And I think if you can go through your university studies and be very attentive to that, I think you can learn a lot of stuff about team composition, knowing what it takes to succeed, how differences are strengths, how to play a role, how to get the best out of people. I think that's where I think you can really go far, no matter what career you end up doing, even if you're not in management. I think that's kind of something true in life. And I think beyond that, if anything, you know, why you choose a certain school and the energy you put into it. I mean, you get an education and you get a career path, but I think you also make a lot of connections. I mean, there's people I've met. My best friends are from people that I've met through those exchanges where I looked across the class and said, that's someone that I want to do a project with, because that person looks very different than me in terms of skills, but someone I can get along with. So I would say that's kind of like the thing. I think that's kind of like where that's, you can take that across the rest of your life, really.
Vito, what was your first job out of university?
I, as the Drake song goes, I started at the bottom, as the bottom can go. I started as an intern at, what was then the prominent marketing communications firm, in Montreal. And they're still going strong. I was their first intern. I remember they paid me exactly what the Canadian government was giving them. But I was the first one. And after that, they created a whole program. So I feel like I created sort of a new path for a bunch of people. So I got a 3-month stint, which then became 6 months, then became a full-time job. And I just worked my way there. And it was interesting because when you're an intern in a company of about 300 people that never had an intern, you got to figure out yourself what the heck you're going to do and how you're going to succeed. And my strategy, and I remember telling myself this, my strategy is going to be about making other people successful, right? And I would almost measure every day by, did someone come in and ask me for some help today? And if they did, for me, that's success. They know I exist. They know I can bring something. And again, you kind of build on that reputation and then people involve you. And that's kind of how I navigated that. But it was really as ground floor, maybe even basement, I would say would be a better description of my first job.
You're listening to the CEO Series. And today we're speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. What took you back to do an MBA?
My career was going pretty well. And I remember I had an office on McGill College. I was working at another shop. I had a good position there. And I just felt it was like a moment, you know, like you just sometimes we always, whenever we write the strategy papers, it always feels like totally thought out and all that. But I think it was more of a feeling where it's like, I need to pivot somehow. I need to sort of have some sort of accelerator. And I remember looking out the window, and it was a nice office I had. It wasn't a corner office, but I had a window on McGill College, and I could see the gates of McGill. The next step is going to be easier for me if I have an MBA. And, you know, you have to be good at what you do and you develop professionally. But then if you want to go to the next step, you have to get that more well-rounded perspective and become comfortable in topics that you won't usually touch doing what you're supposed to be doing. So I researched it, and I just saw it as the skills that are going to allow me to go from being more of a practitioner to more of a, I guess, a manager.
We're speaking with Vito Piazza, global CEO of Sidley. Coming up, we'll discuss what exactly Sidley does and why it matters in the world. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Vito Piazza, global CEO of Sidley. Vito, what exactly is a creative services firm? I'm familiar with an ad agency, see that on television, but Sidley is a creative services firm. What does that mean exactly? What does Sidley do?
So the best way to describe it, I think, in a way that everyone can understand, is we're in the business of market making through creativity. So basically, we have clients and we generate consumer affinity or business demand for our clients. So that we do that through marketing, we do that through advertising, digital experiences, design. We even have an architecture practice. I mean, our thing is we cover a lot of ground. We really apply that creativity, but it is really market making. And then we also do things where we use the creativity to solve challenges that are either business or social. So if a company is looking to reposition itself, or, you know, a new leader comes in and says, listen, I have a new vision, I want to express it in the world, we do that. And then we'll design physical digital experiences, which are really important now. So we can go pretty far. So we'll go from advertising all the way to even designing physical spaces. I don't know if, Carl, you've ever been to the Bota Bota in the old port in the pre-COVID moment, but that's something that we created from top to bottom. So that's basically what we do.
How many people does Sidley employ, and where are they located around the world?
So we call it a creative community because if we feel it represents the tone we set for the collective group of people that are part of Sidley. We're 900 professionals, 900 full-time employees, and then of course we bring on people as we need them. We have offices in Canada, in Montreal, the headquarters, Toronto. We have LA, Seattle, and New York in the US, and then we have Paris and London in Europe.
How long ago did Sidley get started? Has it always been called Sidley?
I'm like second generation, if you will. I've been there long enough to know the history. It was founded in 93 by two guys who came out of school and couldn't get the job that they necessarily wanted, but really loved the industry and had a bit of a chip on their shoulder and decided to bring something new and fresh and a certain level of reinvention to the market. And it used to be called Diesel. Diesel as in the fuel, I suppose. But back then, all the agencies were called, let's say, Piazza, you know, more Piazza and Friends, let's say. They would always have the person's name on the wall. And they, again, to signal that difference, they went with something more conceptual, which was Diesel. And then when all the agencies became more conceptual, and also because we were getting sued by Diesel Jeans a little bit too often, we decided to change our name to Sidley, which is actually an anagram of Diesel. We just took the letters and shifted them around. So we kind of went back to, I guess, the old school way of doing it, but without, there is no Sidley, we are Sidley, right? So it's kind of like it is, we are all Sidley. It's not an individual, it's a collective. So we thought it was a good way to tip the hat to the past, but also reinvent ourselves to a certain degree.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Vito Piazza, global CEO of Sidley. You were president of Sidley before and then became recently global CEO. What is the difference between the role of president and CEO?
So I was group president, which means just, I guess, I know it sounds weird, but it's like the president of presidents, which it still makes me chuckle a bit because it's a funny descriptor. But basically, I was reporting into the CEO, who was Bertrand Cesvera, who has been on your show, I believe, Carl. And he's now executive chairman. And when I was group president, my work was principally overseeing and helping the individual businesses perform. So all those businesses and acquisitions we've done are business units. And I would be working with the leadership, all those leadership teams, from a business oversight, but also from a leadership team development function. And now I became global CEO, which is much more what you would think of as a typical CEO role, which is about setting the vision for our business and, you know, what are the key priorities from a business and strategic perspective. So that's the switch there. I mean, now a lot of my attention obviously is building and elevating our creative reputation, which is, you know, the most important thing for us. And then defining, you know, how do we define success as an organization across all those units and making that clear to folks what that means and what our path is to get there.
How do you do strategy? You're responsible for strategy globally. I teach strategy. Do you sit in your office thinking big thoughts, or does it more bubble up from across the ranks of the company? How does Sidley work?
There's two types of strategies. There's a strategy, the service we provide our clients, which is the strategy that goes into our creativity. You're referring to what we would call our corporate strategy. I would say our corporate strategy is very top down and bottom up. It's a combination of the global perspective, you know, which is, you know, folks like Bertrand, myself, a few executives at the global level. But then we combine that with the entrepreneurial spirit of our leaders. I like to use the analogy that Sidley is, that's not a hockey team, it's a track team. Okay. And what I mean by that is, you know, a hockey team, everybody's on, you know, everybody's jumping on the ice, playing the same game, winning that single game. We're more of a track team where, you know, there's the person running the 100 meter dash, the long jumper and pole vaulter and discus and all that. Everybody's part of the same team, and each of our success is pushing the team forward. I mean, we're learning through each other. We're combining all these sort of disciplines and expertise and best practices, and we're inspired by each other's success. And I think that's kind of like the proper thing. So then that kind of bubbles up and combines with the global perspective to develop the strategy that we want to pursue.
You're listening to the CEO Series. And today we're speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. All of us listening would like to be more creative. You're a creative shop. How do I become more creative? Or is it something that you're born with and there's no other way to get it?
I would say, and this is, I'm going to channel our chief creative officer. He always says this. He says, if you have a brain, it's good news because you're creative. So everyone is creative. I think it's just a question of believing in your creative self. I have a saying right now that I like to repeat, which is stop reacting, start creating. So I like to take reacting and you take the C, and I say, bring it to the front where it should be. I think right now we're very much in a reactive mode, and there's something about creativity that is stimulating. It's the way through the chaos. Creativity will bring clarity, it will bring control, it'll bring empowerment. I think a lot of people see creativity as the thing that kind of like very vaporous, but it's actually the more ideas you generate, the better idea you can select, but the more clarity and control it brings to the situation. So stop reacting, start creating, move the sea. That's kind of like my little punchline now.
Today, we're arguing that we need to be more authentic as leaders compared to the kind of corporate person that I was back in the day working at IBM. You could roll me in, roll someone else out. It didn't really matter. You were that corporate person. What does it mean in today's world to be an authentic leader?
So for me, authenticity comes down to, I would say, honesty and transparency. And what I mean by that, it's not about tough decisions. It's about tough conversations with people. You know, I think sometimes we think that, okay, just because you have the strength to fire someone, that makes you authentic or a good leader. I think it's the conversations you're having through that. Are you having them honestly? Are you pushing those off? Or are you willing to to have that transparency about where we stand as an organization, how someone in your team is doing and all that. And I aspire to be an authentic leader. I think I have, I've shown that, but I think more importantly, it's because of the way I define it. It's not something that you have forever. You set it and you, it's every day you have to kind of live up to that standard, right? Because every day something will come up and every day you need to talk to somebody about something. So I feel like it's authentic leadership is key. It's helpful from a leadership perspective, but it's something that you reestablish, I think, as in every situation, right? So that, I mean, that's how I see it.
We're speaking today with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. The pandemic has forced us all to get creative, but how has it affected Sidley, a business that already has creativity at the core of its identity? I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. How has the pandemic affected Sidley?
I mean, it's affected us in different ways. It started as a human crisis, right? There's a health crisis. So I think it affected us in terms of it affected our people. We're a people business. So that was like the first piece and just managing that and helping support, I think, the challenges and I think the emotional impact of that. And even today, I think that's something that's important. For us, we are also a business that is client-centric. So very much, you know, we talk about the K recovery or the K impact of COVID. I think it's the same thing for our clients, and we are obviously serving them. So how it affects them affects us. So that means certain, you know, certain types of services were impacted. We're a business that's very deep in experiential physical experiences. I, as you know, Carl, not much of that has been happening globally. That has always been a strength. And then also some segments did well and some other segments did less well. And I think that's completely normal. And then obviously there's the impact in terms of we're a creative business and the dynamics of creativity are impacted through something like this. You have to change your process and how you work.
Part of what you miss in a pandemic is authenticity that's generated by human contact. You run into someone in the hallway or at the water cooler, and you have an exchange that sparks a conversation. Now, you're doing creativity on steroids at Sidley. How do you maintain creativity when you're not in the same room?
I mean, that's the issue, right? Today, everything is virtual, so it changes the dynamics. Everything becomes a Zoom, which is very programmed. You know, it's like you book something. It's very, you know, very formal. You kind of lose that spontaneity, and it plays with the flow of the creative process. I think there's an adjustment in terms of how we work, where we try to make, you know, shift our approach to having more frequent interactions, even changing the dynamics. Like I would say it's interesting because I feel like the phone has become an interesting change of pace. I know it's crazy to say because you would say more data is better. Like, so the problem with Zoom is you're trying to use a virtual tool to kind of interpret that physical exchange. And sometimes if you just go audio, it allows you just to focus on, you know, what the person is saying, what the ideas are, and it becomes less about your brain trying to figure out this new thing that we weren't developed to use, really. So I think in terms of, you can put things like Miro and those kinds of tools, but I think it comes down to how do you keep that spontaneity? How do you not overly program? How do you make it comfortable for people just to contact each other and say, hey, what do you think of this? And end the call once the conversation is over versus going through the flower of the Zoom or whatever it is. The other thing I will say, though, is in life, you know, and I think this is kind of like an obvious lesson, there's pros and cons to everything. So there's definitely cons you need to work around. But there is a positive that is very, very, very productive, which is everyone can connect across borders on the same terms, right? So before, if we needed a team in Paris to work on something in the US, if they had to work one day, they pretty much killed their week by the time they flew there, you know, got acclimatized, et cetera, et cetera. Now we can get people connected on the same even system instantaneously. Of course, there's some time differences, but it's kind of like minor. And it's in our organization where the right person at the right place on the right topic is so critical. It really created a lot of new connections. And what we've seen in the last year is us mobilizing together in a way to win that with fluidity that we haven't had. You know, we've always been, I think, better than most at it, but now it's kind of like at a level where those relationships and those success stories were going to benefit us for a long time to come. So if anything, I would say I am dying to go back to the office and have people around me, but I don't want to lose that comfort of having people just being able to connect virtually and having that fluidity, because I think it really brings a lot of value. And I think for a lot of other organizations, that's something that people can benefit from as well.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. When you come back to working in person, will you still continue to have the big screens of people from Paris and New York joining in? Is that going to change how you work?
I think so. But I think the technology is one piece. I think the other piece is the behaviors and the rituals that make that comfortable. You know, I think if we just think back, and I know the last year is kind of a time warp, but before that, there's four people in a room and one person on the phone or on video, that person feels left out. What are the rituals that we've created that your team has become comfortable with that where people feel they're part of that exchange? So you almost have to lean more on that and then build the physical on top of it. I think the technology will not create that comfort, will not create that trust and that fluidity of exchange.
The world's gone digital. Seems like the whole world, a lot of companies, retail especially, have moved online. You do a lot of digital at Sidley. What do you see as a couple of key trends in digital over the course of the pandemic? What's changed?
The way we describe it is the pandemic was not so much new, but an acceleration of many trends that were already underway. So we have this icebreaker question, which is it's just trying to be funny, I suppose. But in a client meeting, we'll ask the question, who led the digital transformation of your company in 2020? And it's a multiple choice. Is it the CEO? Is it the CTO? Or is it COVID-19? And it's basically the reality of the situation has pushed that forward. So COVID has without a doubt accelerated those major trends. In our space, it's the major trends in marketing. So there was a digital progression of the marketing function and the marketing profession that started, you know, over a decade ago. It's just gone bonkers. And you could see it. You could see it in companies. The one, you know, how people did in the crisis had a lot to do with what their position was going into it. You know, how far along were they on that journey? The further you were along, the better off you were. If you hadn't started, it was very, very difficult. That's the same thing for us. I mean, we've always been embracing those aggressively, but without a doubt, the capabilities that were digital first are the ones that are doing well, like the social work, digital experience design, CRM, e-commerce. Those are the ones that are big. So that means, the key trends are direct to consumer is a key trend. You see how brands now are looking to connect and create that affinity and create that business line to consumers directly. That is something that will continue, that started before, that will continue to accelerate. And then how the experience is digitalized, even the physical experience will be more digitalized coming out of this. So for us, these will continue to be investment areas in terms of people, and even from an acquisition perspective, we're going to continue looking for businesses to acquire just so that we can accelerate that in our business as well.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. Vito, when we think about diversity, gender, and race come to mind first, of course, but I also like to think of other characteristics that can signal the diversity of a team, like introversion and extroversion. How do you see diversity at Sidley?
I think it's similar. It's similar to how we see multidisciplinary. Like I was mentioning earlier, that it's one of the founding principles of Sidley is bringing different expertise, experiences, and skills together, because we believe fundamentally that brings better ideas. Diversity, we feel the same way about diversity and people in terms of people's backgrounds, people's lifestyles. It's an ingredient for us in terms of how do we build the most diverse team. I mean, besides it being the right thing to do, it is actually a function of having a product that performs better in the world. What diversity means for us is learning through the experience and learning through the conversations. I mean, for me personally, there's been moments where I didn't realize certain things. I didn't realize how the experience was for some folks and what it meant to work in an environment such as ours. So I think what it means for us is really about is about coming up with a deeper understanding of how we can, you know, recognize that and make people feel that they're in the right place so they can be a better creative and contribute more. So that's what it means for us. And that's the role I think it's going to play in our organization moving forward.
We're speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. Up next, we'll be talking about Vito's work-life integration as the newly minted global leader of Sidley. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. Vito, what do you consider your biggest accomplishment and your biggest failure?
If I close my eyes, what's my biggest accomplishment? My biggest accomplishment is my family. It's a joint venture, right? Obviously with my wife. That is the thing that for me is my biggest source of pride and happiness. But business-wise, I would say my biggest accomplishment was the Toronto office. I left Montreal to start that one from scratch. So, you know, the whole thing, station wagon, going to IKEA, get furniture, figuring out what phone line we need, everything, you know, and to start that from scratch, bring a couple of people on board that were my co-conspirators and build the team, go get those clients, bring those people together, get people fundamentally excited to work with us, have a chip on our shoulder to prove ourselves. Fear and excitement come together, you know, like I think that's, you can't have a lot of excitement without a little bit of anxiety. My biggest failure, I lost a major piece of business once and it wasn't because we weren't doing the work we were asking properly. It's just that we lost sight of the bigger picture. And again, I saw that as my role to be connected to that. And I think whenever you're working on something, you can, you know, you're working on the project, but if you don't keep in mind that this connects to something bigger, and if you don't have an idea of what that is, you could easily lose your way. And that had a business impact. I'm not going to say it is, but it was a pretty major client. And, you know, you had to shrink the team after and reorganize and all that. And that one was like a huge lesson for me. And obviously a personal thing, because it's like I'm responsible for that relationship and that and the people in our team. So we actually work with some of those people now in another piece of business, but it was a big lesson for me.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Vito Piazza, Global CEO of Sidley. Vito, you're a Montreal boy and you moved to Toronto. Is business a little different between Montreal and Toronto in your experience?
They are actually very different. And I remember there was a moment in my career where in the transition, so I my family was with me in Toronto for 4 years and change. I spent another 3 years flying back every week. They're different business climates. I think if you go into a city and you really spend the energy to say what's special about the city, what, you know, what's vibrant about the city, you can really get a lot out of it. Like I never understand people that say, you know, Toronto is a boring city or Calgary or this and Montreal is that. It's like, if you can't go into a city and get the best out of it, I feel it says more about the people than the actual city. And it's interesting because I think there's a different level of business dynamics. I think Montreal is a much more, let's say, artistically minded business climate. I think, you know, Cirque du Soleil unfortunately is having had a really rough ride, but you know, the Cirque du Soleil created a whole sort of, we rode on the cocktails of that, to be honest. We had them, you know, we have them as a client. They're not doing much now, but we've been working with them forever. You know, they created that very creative mindset from a business perspective. I think Toronto is a beacon for, in North America, for aspiring young talent that maybe finds the US doesn't fit where they want to be. I remember when I opened the office there, I had a crop of, you know, Russians, Brazilians, obviously a few Quebec expats, Americans, people from France, I think a couple of people from Asia. Like, you can really go international. And I think every market has that. I think that special makeup. And I think if you keep your eyes open and you keep your open mind, then, and you invest yourself, I think you can get the best out of all those experiences.
This is radio, so our listeners can't see your shirts, Vito, but can you tell us about the significance of your wardrobe?
I guess I should describe them. I have a very extensive collection of dress shirts that are colorful and let's call them vibrant, I think would be, is that a fair descriptor, Carl? And I try to make them stylish. I think it's not the exercise is not making them loud, but everybody wears shirts. And I think there's, if you can find some that have a little bit more personality, I think that appeals to me. I also noticed that it became part of something that people look forward to. And I have this thing where I actually, and I've said this before, I actually have a little bit of a running like Excel sheet in my mind of who has seen what shirt, and I try not to show up with the same shirt twice. The concept for me is just, you know, a little bit of color in life, a little bit of like creativity goes a long way. And in my job, I aspire to be a creative CEO, you know, which is it's a special type of CEO. And it's that, how can I combine business and creativity? And the shirts don't really give me a competitive advantage, but it's kind of like a visual reminder of what I'm trying to do.
Are you more of an introvert or an extrovert?
I mean, I would say, I know, Carl, you're an expert in this. So I'm going to say I'm an ambivert. I think I have qualities in both, and I really do. I know this is a hot topic now, so I've actually did a little bit of research. I enjoy being social, and I can hang out, but I also enjoy my alone time as well. Like, I just bought myself a sauna, and I love going in there. So I'm comfortable in both. So I would say ambivert.
You're listening to the CEO series. And today we're speaking with Vito Piazza, global CEO of Sidley. During the pandemic, a lot of CEOs told me that they worked too much to deal with everything at the onset. How do you balance the day, or are you on Zoom from early morning to late at night? What do you do to keep yourself balanced?
I think it comes down to physical exercise, sleep. Sleep is probably the most important. Physical exercise and what you eat. I eat a lot better now. I mean, that's one of the advantages. You know, when you're on the road, I would travel every week till this. So I would eat well, but I would eat rich. So now, drink less, eat better, makes a huge difference. But probably the thing that I would say is the piece that really helps is the vacation of the mind. You know, like the word vacation has the word vacate in it, you know, so meditation, reading, and I'm probably a terrible meditator, but it's just to stop and empty your mind it makes a huge difference. Even if it's 5 minutes, I'm someone who likes to work a lot. I remember my colleagues would tell me, never sit next to Vito on the plane because he never stops and you really feel guilty. I think that's bad, to be honest, in a COVID moment. So I think even when I read, I try to read stuff that is much lighter. You have to give yourself a break, I think, mentally, or else you do work yourself to a bone. I think everyone is working harder. It's not just leaders. I think it's everyone through the organization. Because you're always a click away from another meeting, so you have to pace yourself.
What book are you reading right now?
Right now, I'm burning through Sicilian fiction. That's where my family comes from, and there's like a couple of authors. There's one that I just read called The Leopard, which is by Tomasi di Lampedusa. It's ranked one of the top 10. Historical novels ever, up there with War and Peace. It's called The Leopard. And it has it's about Italian aristocracy in the mid 1800s. And they're like freaking out because the world is changing and they're losing their position in the world. And it's one of my favorite quotes ever, which is, if we want things to stay as they are, things will have to change. which I think is very, very interesting now, right? If you want to be at the top of your game as a creative shop, if you want to be at the top of your game of whatever business you are in, you have to look at what you need to, what shifts you need to make to stay in that position, because it's a different environment. And I'm reading the other one that's a bit more heavy, where the writing is very small and there's a lot of pages, is The Fate of Rome, which is a book about how, there's a lot of books about the decline of the Roman Empire. And I think there's like, you could probably fill a library. This one's about the impact of climate and disease on that, which I think is pretty appropriate given everything that's happening in the world. So I thought that was, that's when I need less of a brain vacation and I'm more curious and to learn about things outside of our immediate reality. So that's an interesting book right now for me.
This is the CEO Series. Vito, thank you very much for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. Catch the show again next week for our talk with Raphier Wallace, CEO of Giga, a Chinese architectural firm that's going global.